Sure. This is a maintenance message. I did want to preach this message tonight, but I'm just a mailman. I'm just delivering what God has given me, and it's not for any specific reason. And I'm not sure why sometimes I get messages that I preach, but God knows. The message is about separating the flesh from the spirit, and you have to understand there's two parts to each and every one of us. There's a flesh aspect, and then there's the spiritual aspect, and there's a duality in which we're constantly warring against each other. And the one who becomes strongest is the one that you feed the most. So if you feed the flesh, the things of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, all those things, well, eventually you won't want to be spiritual. You won't want to come to church. Most of us were like that if we weren't raised in the church. When somebody invited me to church, I didn't want to come. Why? Because I wasn't having any kind of spiritual diet whatsoever. But as I received the Word of God and got into the atmosphere of the presence of God, now all of a sudden those things of the flesh weren't important to me anymore. In fact, they were repulsive, you know. I would listen to bad jokes and they didn't bother me. But when I was filled with the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden it was like stabbing me, you know. So you see, you're born again into another realm, and we have to get as much of the Spirit of God within us. That's why Wednesdays are so important, folks. I don't know how some people can live on one meal a week, you know? So if you turn to 1 Corinthians 7 and verse number 1, it says, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be for consent for a time, that ye may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency or self-restraint." So this is a mature message. It's speaking to some things that only mature people should be able to handle. But everything in the Word of God should be preached. Amen. It's here for a reason. And then if you turn to Job, the 31st chapter. Job chapter 31, starting in verse number 1. This is Job. He's saying, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above, and what inheritance of the mighty, almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked, and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps, if I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hastened to deceit? Let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know my integrity. If my steps have turned out of the way, and my heart walked after my eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to my hands, then let me sow, and let another eat. Let my offspring be rooted out. If my heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind unto another, and let others bow down upon her. For this is a heinous crime. Yea, it is an iniquity to be punished by the judges. For it is a fire that consumeth to destruction and would root out all my increase. Lord, we ask your blessing and anointing upon the word of God, that you would touch it, anoint it, allow it to go forth freely and accomplish what you would have it to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Job 31 and 1 says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maiden? First of all, I want to say that I am not preaching to a problem in this church. I don't do counseling from this pulpit. I am preaching to our flesh, if you will. God directs me to preach in an area to deal with situations that only he knows exists, and I don't have to even understand. And that's part of what preaching is supposed to do. And God has certainly directed me to address this situation. And if it's not for you, well, just put it in the back of your mind. You know, someday it may. Now, no matter how spiritual we get, we will always have to deal with the works of the flesh. There will never be a time when you're not dealing with some kind of temptation in your life, and that's why the Word of God tells us not to make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If you'll turn to Romans, the 13th chapter, Romans chapter 13 and verse number 11, it says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, if there was ever a time where we're seeing signs of things falling apart, whether it's in a political arena or whether it's in weather, whether it's in financial disruption within the world and even in the United States, now is the time. And God's saying, you know what? We're closer than we were when we were filled with God's Spirit, you see. The only way we can overcome the lust of the flesh is to walk in the Spirit. Get as spiritual as you possibly can. Get as much of the Word of God and the presence of God in your life as you possibly can. And then there aren't the temptations that we all come against. Pastor? Yes. Every one of us. If you go to Ezekiel 36, and verse 24, it says, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all of your filthiness and from all of your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. You see, it's not enough to have willpower. It's not enough to have commitment. You need a power that is within us that changes us and causes us to want to live for God. You see, we can go the opposite direction. So the key to a successful walk with God is make no provisions for the flesh, walk in the Spirit, and be led by the Spirit, and then you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There are some people get to the place where they think, well, I guess I'm never going to be able to live for God. You know, it's just too hard. I've tried it, I've failed. No, you need to get more of God in your life, and then you'll be a success. This is not endurance. It should be a joy unspeakable, like Peter said, I want to get to church. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I wasn't glad when they said unto me the first time, or even the second time, or the third time, why don't you come to church? I wasn't glad. But when I got into that environment, when I got into the presence of God, all of a sudden my values changed, my appetite changed. Tonight I want to talk about a poison. Just as bad as crack cocaine, just as bad as heroin. It's so common now. We just found a bag of needles and paraphernalia for drugs on our back sidewalk this week and called the police. But, I mean, it's so prevalent now with drugs and an alternative reality because people aren't satisfied with what they have, so they're looking for some other alternative that takes them out of this reality, out of their problems. When God's saying, I want to deliver you, I want to give you joy unspeakable, I want to give you life and life more abundantly. And so I want to talk about this poison which can be delivered to your home free. Day or night. It is a soul poison. Most addictions and poisons work in the body on a gradual basis. At first, it's not bad, you know? Just try it. I like it. I don't feel any lasting effect. Some have thought that they could just try it once and just to see what all of the fuss is about. And years later, they are still trying to kick the addiction that they just tried once. Nobody knows whether or not they can resist enough. And the enemy of your soul wants you just to try this once. It can't possibly hurt, you see. The enemy wants to poison each and every one of us. Just try it one time. Make a little provision for the flesh, and everybody else is doing it. And then all of a sudden, you find yourself in a place where, well, my Lord, you know. Some years ago, I visited a woman in prison. She requested that I come. I believe her name is Jerry Sayers. And I visited her many times over at Ellsworth Prison in Union Grove. And later she was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. But nevertheless, she had to pay for her consequences. There were Sundays my wife and I would pick her up and bring her to church because she had the privilege of being released for a little while on Sundays and coming to church. And it was so great for her. Sometime later, she told me that she killed her husband. She didn't intend to kill her husband, but nevertheless, she was serving many years for murder. She just wanted to make him sick because of how he treated her, so she put copier fluid in his orange juice every morning to see how sick she could make him. Who thought, she didn't, that it would eventually kill him. You know, I try to treat my wife right, but I still don't drink orange juice at home. This lady is now the secretary at the Green Bay Church. You know? Isn't it amazing that God, you can't get bad enough that God wouldn't forgive you. But there's consequences. Always, you know, young people don't want to hear about the consequences. Well, I don't think. See, it's different for us folks. You know, I as Brother Woodward said, you know, I don't go check on the neighbor's kids to find out if they did their homework, you know. And God doesn't either. But with his kids, there's a difference. God designed the husband and wife relationship to be intimate. And as a result, we can hurt each other the most because of the intimacy between a husband and a wife. When one is emotionally hurt, the partner is more susceptible to falling prey to the enemy at the flesh. You know, when Eve got to the place where she sinned, she involved her husband, Adam, and I wonder if it wasn't somehow connected with the intimacy that they had with each other, that I will try to deliver you because if you're in sin, I'll be in sin as well. And that's why we read in Ephesians 4 and 26, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And so God's saying, you know what, you can be angry, but don't allow that angry to become wrath. And as much as it is possible, you need to somehow come to an agreement. God's provision is that we would be completely satisfied with our spouse, that we would not be tempted by the lust of the flesh. According to that 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, it should be because we have a great love for our spouse. Now, I want to approach a delicate subject matter tonight, not just for the husbands, not just for the wives, but also for the unmarried here, because eventually every one of us are going to be confronted with these issues. Our worship is an intimacy with God that satisfies our relationship. And that's why I push worship so much, because it is that intimacy with God that causes us to be satisfied with the relationship that we have with our spouse, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we worship God, our desire for things in the world starts to diminish because we are satisfied with the presence of God that we are in, and we feel complete. No intimacy with God, and we struggle with the works of the flesh. No intimacy with God, and we struggle with the temptations of the flesh. That's why it's so imperative to come in and don't stand there, but worship God, get involved, let Him touch you, and you touch Him, because it's legal. We have had a marriage ceremony in the water, and that causes us to have a closeness with God that others can't have. And so it is with the marriage relationship. There must be an intimacy, or there develops a lust of the flesh. Holding back marital favors will put your spouse in a precarious situation, and then all of a sudden the enemy moves in and there are some temptations. I know some would never preach a message like this in church, but I'll tell you what, these are things that are vital. Why would Paul address these situations? Why would Job, the first book in the Bible, talk about these things? Ecclesiastes 9 and 9 says, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, for that is thy portion in this life. Proverbs 5 and 19 says, may you ever be captivated by her love. Why be captivated by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? What he's saying is you need to be completely satisfied with your spouse to the point where, you know what, I'm just not tempted. I'm not looking. I'm not. God shows us the satisfaction that comes in a loving marriage, yet the world portrays our need for the lust of the flesh in everything that we're seeing. We're seeing it in programming. We're seeing it in commercials. We're seeing it on the street. We're seeing it in advertising. There isn't anything that sells more than sex. 2 Timothy 3 and 6 talks about the last day, saying, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lusts. Well, what's happening? All these soap operas, all of these different programs, what happens is as those things come into the eye gates, what now happens is we become dissatisfied and we become tempted. I'm talking about living a successful life for God. The media, movies, magazines all promote the appetite of the flesh. It's like copier fluid in the orange juice. Just a little here and a little there. I remember when Gone the Wind came out and there was a word that was said. And Gone the Wind, I mean, it was all over the papers. It was scandalous. It was horrible, you know. But today, there's no limit on anything that can be said or seen in the media. In our sexual saturated society, pornography is not just a little problem. Women get the attention of men by wearing revealing clothes, and men are aroused by what they see. So there's a responsibility on both parts. It's not just pornography that deals with man, but there's all kinds of situations that involve the entire marriage. And the internet has become a Pandora's box because of its accessibility and anonymity. So you can do it in the private confines of your house. The numbers of people snared in this kind of trap is actually staggering. It's just amazing what is happening today. And the church is faced with the same thing. Believe it or not, Americans rent about 800 million pornographic DVDs every year, one in every five rentals. Hollywood produces about 400 movies each year, but there are 11,000 porn films shot each year. 11,000. $4 billion a year is spent just on porn videos. More than what is spent on all of football, all of baseball, all of basketball. It's the entertainment of the world, and you wonder what's happening to our society because there are no moral values. It's one in four internet users look at a pornographic website in any given month. Don't think we are not susceptible to this kind of evil. Fallen humanity has a tendency to embrace any pleasure that are devoid of any kind of responsibility. And some say, well, you know, it's a victimless crime. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's not any different than any other substance that you put in your body that you become addicted to, and it truly is addictive. Pornography is called the spiritual crack cocaine, because of how quickly people can become so addicted to it. Just open one wrong email or website in the confines of your home. Remember our nature. We cannot make provisions for the flesh and all our flesh. You see, once you have an image in your head, you'll never be able to extract that image from your head. That's why it's so important to keep our children pure. Because they don't need to struggle with the images that they got in their youth. They don't need to go through those kind of situations. It has been proven that the more pornography watched, the less satisfied people are with their spouse. And the loss of their ability to be content with their marriage and ultimately their overall happiness. It doesn't satisfy, it makes you unsatisfied. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 3 says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication," any sexual activity outside of marriage. The Greek word for fornication is pornoro, meaning indulge in unlawful lust. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And verse number 18, Paul is saying over and over to the church of Corinth, because there are some problems here. He's saying verse number 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. So it is the worst because it really is a part of your body. Everything else is outside the body. God gave the gift of sexuality to be expressed only within the confines and intimacy of marriage for a threefold purpose. Genesis 1 and 28 says for procreation or having children. Proverbs 5, 18 and 19 says for mutual enjoyment between a husband and wife. Genesis 2 and 24 says for physical, emotional, and spiritual bonding as one flesh. There isn't anything that bonds a husband and wife closer than that. Pornography accomplishes none of God's purpose and it provides a gateway to many other situations within your life. Many have known that there is a relationship between infidelity, pornography, fornication, and finances. And there is a trail. There are people who are destitute in finances because they've allowed immorality to come into their life because God's saying, I am not going to bless that. Pornography is a virus that kills intimacy, dignity, reality, and spirituality. And because it can be viewed in the confines of a home, it may seem like it is a secret, but it assassinates your character and interaction with your spouse. It takes away your spirituality, and all of a sudden you don't want to do the things that God wants you to do. And it annihilates your relationship with God. It is a soul poison. I wish I had a happier message for you tonight. I wish I could just say, hey, everybody's wonderful. There's no problem at all. But you know what? God addresses this situation because it's so prevalent. Sometimes I'm grateful that Wisconsin is colder than most states because people wear more clothes here. Glory to God. Get us through summer, Lord. Get us through summer. Hallelujah. The Bible has much to say about lust because it destroys our spiritual life. It can be something that keeps revolving in your mind and revolving in your mind. And my Bible says, gird up the loins of your mind and bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. It's a matter of exchanging your thoughts. You know, have you been in church services and you're worshiping God and all of a sudden this ugly thought comes in your mind? It's not your problem. It's a temptation that generally the enemy puts in your mind to divert your attention from God. It's not a sin. It's just a matter of exchanging your thought for something pure and lovely and of good report, like it says in Philippians 4, you see. And because the appetite that causes lust cannot be removed from us, you'll never get to a point, I don't care if you're pastoring a church of 6,000 people and you're praying every day and reading the Word of God, there still is within the flesh an appetite for the wrong things, you know? If I go on a diet, I don't go to a bakery, you know? Every one of us have situations that we know we're more susceptible to than other people. And God doesn't reveal that to other people. He's just saying, you know. And if you backslide, I know exactly where you're going to end up, just where God found you, you see? Because you still have that same desire and temptation to go back to those same areas, you see? How many times? We've baptized over 2,000 men in prison. And so many of them, when they get out, they go right back to the same neighborhood that they used to be in, and they go right back to the same crowd, and they go right back to the same habits, and go right back to the same prison. 60% who are released go back into prison again because they went back to the same place. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be your God. Hallelujah. Because of the failure, Adam in the garden, lust must be controlled by the power of God's Spirit and not just because we think we can do it on our own. That's why when we come into church services and we worship God and we have this intimate relationship with God, it bonds us to God. It solidifies the relationship we have with God. Now all of a sudden, we're just so satisfied with the things of God. And now we're not worried about the things that we can't have or some of the things that the world wants. No, I'm just satisfied with God because I have this bonding with God like a husband and wife have a bonding. Amen. Are you still with me?
Amen.
1 Peter 2:11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you or beg you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." So those things are constantly warring against your soul. You're doing what's wrong, and so you're saying, God doesn't love me. Listen, pornography is not just an issue for adults. Not anymore. 9 out of 10 children in the world between the ages of 8 and 16 have viewed pornography on the internet already. In most cases, unintentional, while searching for something else in the internet, and all of a sudden something comes up, there are pop-up screens trying to get to our kids, giving personal information on Facebook, and MySpace opens a highway for an avenue of wrong messages to our children, and we have to guard against what they're on. Kids are more savvy on computers than most of the adults. They know how to erase, the history and get involved in things that they shouldn't. There's a website called www.besafe.com, and you can go on that space and you can find filters and spam control and information for safety in order to help you with guarding against these things. We've got to protect our kids, folks. Amen. Hallelujah. One of the purposes for the church is to keep each other accountable, and we are our brother's keepers. In the home, the best way to keep your kids accountable is to keep the computer in an open area. You know? "Well, I just want to go in my room." No, I'm sorry. No, we're gonna have it at the dining room table. We're gonna have it at the kitchen table because we want to supervise what you're going into. Kids know how to delete the history in the computer, and this is why it's imperative to have a filter where each and every site is viewed and reported to somebody within the family that they were on it, whether that be a parent in case of kids or a spouse for married couples. It could save somebody's life. Amen. It really could. Amen. Last scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 said, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication or pornography." So many times I go back to the situation where this woman is caught in the very act of adultery, and there are people who want to stone her. And Jesus kneels down and he writes something in the sand. And one by one, the accusers walk away. I don't know what he wrote, but he said, "Those without sin cast the first stone." You see, each and every one of us have been in an area of life that wasn't pleasing to God But you know, he showed mercy to us. And then he said to the woman, go and sin no more. Because I want to bless you. I want to keep you. I want to give more to you than you could possibly want. I want to delight in you, you see. But he's saying, we're going to have to stop some things in order to bless. See, there's nothing I can do really to promote myself like God can promote me. There isn't anything I can really do in order to safeguard a long life, but God can. There isn't anything I can do in order to heal my body, but God can. I want to be in that place where, you know what, God is freely able to do whatever I need in my life. And so I guard against that. And it's a daily situation because Paul, the one who is probably the greatest of the apostles in the New Testament, said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? You see, what's happening? He's dealing with situations and temptations, even though he started churches and preached to many. He's still having to deal with this old flesh, folks. And so we need to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I promise the next time I preach, I'll preach on something really happy, you know. This is unusual, but I know it was God tonight. So tuck it away in your mind. But just don't make provision. Don't make provision. Would you stand with me? Do we still have musicians? Glory. Hallelujah. I remember my pastor saying, years ago, he's saying, you know what? It doesn't matter what I preach, whether I hit a grand slam or I bunted and got thrown out at first. All I have to do is open the altar and God can correct anything that I didn't do. You know, there's an altar here and it's open tonight. If you need something from God, I'm telling you, God is here and ready in order to give you whatever you need. Amen. The altar is open. Would you come?